Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. My name is Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about the Joy Luck Club. The novel is what we're talking about today and what we have been talking about in our program over the last couple of days. But this novel has also been made into a movie. Sometimes they change the plot around when the movie comes out, but I think the plot of the movie and the book are pretty much exactly the same. So you can either watch the movie or read the book. The choice is up to you.
Well, I think that Amy Tan actually helped write the script for the movie, too. So it remains pretty true to the original novel. So, yeah, I think Tom's right. Either way, you're going to get a good idea of what Amy Tan's novel or literature was all about. Again, it's about conflict between parent and child. It's broken up into four little stories, and the movie is broken up into those four stories as well. So you take a little bit of time focusing on each mother and daughter story.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting because they are all sort of related because all the mothers were members of this Joy Luck Club. It kind of reminds me of a Robert Altman movie. I think it was called Shortcuts, where they've got these different stories all going on separately, but they kind of cross paths at some point or another.
And yeah, they tie together.
They tie together. So this is tied together here with the concept of the Joy Luck Club. Now, we've talked about various pairs of mothers and their daughters. The first one we talked about was June, who learned that she's got twin sisters, and her mother was Su Yuan. We also learned about Waverly and her mother Lindo, Yingying and her daughter Lena, and we last were talking about An Mei and her daughter Rose. They all have rather unique stories, don't they?
They really do. But you also see a theme of that mother trying to come to her daughter's aid. And by telling the daughter about her own experience, help the daughter grow in her own life. I felt that was a common theme.
Mm-hmm. I did, too, also because the mothers were kind of hard on their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they had the best intentions for their daughters. And sometimes we need to learn those things from our parents. They seem like they're being mean, but they actually mean well. Well, let's continue talking about Amy Tan and where she got her ideas for this book. Let's read through today's lesson right now, and then we'll talk about it.
Inspiration for the Joy Luck Club comes in large part from her own relationship with her mother. Just like the characters in the book, American Tan was born to Chinese immigrants. Growing up, she constantly fought with her mother and deliberately rebelled. When Tan eventually realized that this conflict was based on misunderstanding, she started to listen to her mother's life stories. This helped her to understand her mother as well as herself and became the basis of the book. Although the novel explores relationships between Chinese mothers and American daughters, it carries a universal appeal. Everyone can relate to the problems between parent and child that arise from generation gaps. The book also deals with themes relevant to men and women alike, such as coming to terms with the past and struggling for identity. First published in 1989, The Joy Luck Club spent 75 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, eventually selling millions of copies and earning glowing praise for its author. The novel has since been translated into 23 languages and even adapted into a successful movie. There's no better time to watch or read The Joy Luck Club than in this month of Mother's Day. The story reminds us that no matter what separates us from our parents or children, our mutual bond of love will always hold us together.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about today's lesson. Tan's inspiration for the Joy Luck Club comes in large part from her own relationship with her mother. Not surprising here. The Joy Luck Club, of course, is a novel all about mothers and daughters. with the extra treat of it being specifically focusing on people of Chinese descent living in the United States. And Amy Tan is of Chinese descent. And just like the characters in the book, American Tan, Amy Tan here was born to Chinese immigrants.
Now, even though Amy was actually born in the United States, she's an American citizen, her parents were Chinese immigrants. An immigrant is a person who moves to another country to live. So you could say that her parents were born and raised in China and then came to the United States. So they're immigrants. They're now living in the U.S., but that's not where they were born. But Amy was. So Amy's a natural citizen. She was born in America, but she still grew up in a home with parents from China. So she had sort of a dual cultural upbringing. She was American. You know, she'd go to American schools, watch American TV, and at home, her parents would probably talk to her a lot about their experiences in China. It's much different.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, growing up, she constantly fought with her mother and deliberately rebelled. So, of course, we got people growing up in different cultures here, and they, of course, are of different generations. So when Amy Tan was growing up, she was constantly fighting with her mother. Now, we use the word fight here sometimes to talk about when people are hitting each other or beating each other, but here it's referring to them arguing with each other, fighting over things. You came home from school too late. You didn't clean up the dishes. You didn't do what you were supposed to do, etc., etc. So they were constantly arguing about all these different things. And I'm sure they were very much based on misunderstandings.
It said she would always rebel or deliberately rebel. Do it on purpose. If you rebel, you do exactly the opposite of what someone who has authority over you is telling you to do. So maybe her mom says, Amy, I want you to be home by 8 o'clock tonight. Well, what does Amy do? She rebels. She comes home at midnight instead. So she does exactly the opposite of what her parents want her to do. This happens a lot, especially with teenagers. A lot of them will rebel, or they'll be rebellious. That's the adjective form. And that's kind of what Amy was like when she was growing up.
Mm-hmm. So she did it on purpose. It was deliberate, or she did it deliberately. And rebel, as Stephanie just said, is a verb here. I can give you another example. The United States rebelled against Britain because they couldn't take the Brits forcing them to drink all that Earl Grey tea back in the 1700s.
We should probably mention here, too, Tom, that rebel as a noun is pronounced differently. Rebel,
right,
with the emphasis on the first syllable, but the verb is rebel with the emphasis on the second syllable.
Mm-hmm. The rebels rebelled against the other country here. So she deliberately rebelled against her mother. She was being naughty on purpose just to get her mother's goat. And when Tan eventually realized that this conflict was based on misunderstanding, she started to listen to her mother's life stories. So probably for a long time, little Amy took all these things personally, thought her mother was being mean just to be mean to her. But later on, she realized that it was a misunderstanding. Her mother meant one thing, but Amy understood it a different way because of cultural backgrounds or because of age differences. And later she realized this, and she was cool about it. And she said, "Ah, Mom, I know you meant well. Don't worry about that stuff. But tell me about your life stories. I want to know. Tell me what life was like in China, what your life has been like in the United States, stuff like that. Tell me all this stuff. I want to know."
Mm-hmm. It said it became the basis of her book. The basis here just means the foundation. This is what she was using as material, her own life story. You know, the best authors often use their own lives to write their novels from. You know, you've got a lot of experience if it comes from your own background. And that's what Amy used as the basis of this book, her own relationship with her mom. Now, although the novel explores relationships between Chinese mothers and American daughters, it carries what we're calling here a universal appeal. Universal means it's found everywhere. Everyone around the world would understand this. And if it has an appeal, it means it's attractive to people. It's something that people find enjoyable. It appeals to them. There's something pleasing about it. If it has a universal appeal, it means a lot of people around the the world will understand what's in this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it has a universal appeal. That's the noun form here, but to appeal can also be the verb form. I often think about the verb form as referring to court cases. If somebody gets taken to court and they don't like the judge's decision, well, they can appeal it to a higher court to try to get a more favorable decision. But here we're talking about it as a noun. It has a universal appeal. It appeals to a lot of people. It can relate to them. And as the next sentence says here, everyone can relate to the problems between parent and child that arise from generation gaps. Now, here we have the phrase to relate to something. That means that they can understand it. Sometimes when people are talking about something, we may not understand it because we don't relate to it. We don't have the same kind of experience. It doesn't mean anything to us. You might as well be talking to a duck or something because we don't understand this. It doesn't appeal to me. I can't relate to it. But everyone can relate to this because everybody, or at least most people, have had problems with their parents or with their children. There's always some problem going on between parents and children. They just don't seem to understand each other. They just don't get it.
Yeah, it's called the generation gap. You know, this big hole or space between parent and child. You just don't see things the same way. So you sort of have differences in your attitudes toward things. Maybe you're interested in different things. My parents don't like rap music at all. They think it's silly.
So you like it then?
Well, I understand it a little bit more than they do, but it's a generation gap. So they don't really like it, or they don't want to like it. They don't even want to try to appreciate it. Whereas kids, you know, it's kind of cool for them. It's something that everyone in their generation likes and can relate to. So that generation gap just means differences in what you like. Maybe ideas between your parents and you are quite different because they grew up at a different time. So you can understand why there's this big gap or space between you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of ironic, though, because, yeah, sometimes there's a generation gap between me and, say, my dad. He listens to that old, awful 1940s big band jazz stuff with Benny Goodman and Tommy Dorsey and stuff like that. But on the other hand, my dad is a fan of Raymond Chandler, the famous detective novelist. And I like reading those, too. Maybe not for the right reasons, but I enjoy them as well. So I guess you kind of have to do this on a case-by-case basis. Okay, and you might be surprised, everybody. You might have more in common with your parents than you'd like to admit. Well, everybody, we'll continue talking about our lesson today in just a couple of seconds. But right now, our Chinese teacher is going to take over, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Jenny. 今天我们要继续来看这本喜福会的书。好，我们提到Tons Inspiration, 就是他这本书喜福会的灵感是来自于come from 这个片语，来自于呢他跟他的母亲之间的关系。就像这个书里面他提到的这些人物一样， Amy Tan was born to Chinese immigrants. 注意到这个片语 was born to， 介系词 to 在家境背景或者是情况表示说他是出生于什么样的家庭背景里。那我们知道他是华裔的移民，后面提到 growing up, she constantly fought with her mother. Growing up, 这是一个分词片语，它一样的省略到了连接词，省略掉了主词，原来是指 as she grew up, 就是在她成长的过程里头呢，她一直是跟她的妈妈抗争的。后面有两个单字，一个是 deliberately, 就是故意的也就是相当于 intentionally, 后面还有一个 rebel, 代表的是反叛。接下来呢他提到说 Tan 他自己最后他了解到他们之间的冲突事实上是因为误解。Be based on, 注意到这个片语本来是基于什么的原因，这边就是指他的来源是来自于误解。好，那之后呢他就开始听他妈妈谈他人生的故事，那这也就帮助他了解他的妈妈还有他自己。好，注意到 understand her mother as well as herself, 这个 A as well as B 就表示除了后面的 B 之外还有 A, 所以重点是他不但了解自己还了解他的妈妈。好，我们看到下一段，虽然说呢这个小说 主要探讨的是中国的母亲跟他们美国的女儿之间的故事。不过 ，it carries a universal appeal。注意到 ，universal 是举世皆然的 ，appeal 这个名词代表的是吸引力，意思就是说，这本书它的内容尽管如此，它其实是能够引起大众的共鸣的。好，继续提到说 ，everyone can relate to the problems。注意到 relate to 这个片语呢，意思就是相当于 understand。当你表示能够理解、能够领悟、能够体会一个问题或是一个情况的时候，我们可以用 relate to。那每个人都能够了解到亲子之间这样子的问题。那这个问题后面有一个 that 子句 ，that arise from generation gaps。我们知道 arise from。代表的就是 result from， 也就是是来自于什么原因。那亲子的问题事实上是来自于所谓的代沟。
We'll be back in just a couple of seconds, everybody, but stay tuned. It's time for a little break.
Welcome back to English Digest, everyone. We're on our final day of discussing the Joy Luck Club. We found out that Amy Tan's inspiration came in large part from her own background and her relationship with her mom. So just like the characters you'll find in the book, Tan was born to Chinese immigrants. So even though she was born in America, her parents came from China.So it was a little bit different for her. There were some cultural misunderstandings. She felt like she was American, and her mom kept trying to tell her what she should do from her Chinese perspective. So there were some problems. Amy admitted she constantly fought with her mom growing up, and she would deliberately rebel against what her mom told her to do. But one day, Tan eventually realized that this conflict they were havingwas really based on misunderstanding. So she started to try to listen to her mom. That's always a good idea. Moms have a lot to share with us. Well, this helped her to understand her mother by listening to her mom's stories, and this eventually became the basis of her book. Now, the novel explores relationships between Chinese moms and American daughters, but it carries a universal appeal, meaning a lot of people around the world can relate to it.Because everybody has gone through this parent-child relationship. And sometimes we'll run into things called generation gaps where your parents don't understand where you're coming from or vice versa. So let's talk about what this book deals with.
Well, it deals with themes relevant to men and women alike. Now, if something is relevant, that means it is legitimate. It can relate to it. It's important to that thing. It's not unimportant. So these are relevant things. And that's why the book is so important. When people read it, they see themselves in the book. Boy, this is important stuff. I can relate to it, and I can learn something from it.
Yeah, you can get what they're trying to say because you've experienced it yourself. A lot of times we use this adjective relevant to say it's appropriate for a situation or it's connected to it. Have you ever been in a class and a student keeps asking irrelevant questions that have nothing to do with what your teacher's talking about? He's just wasting time. Those are irrelevant questions, things that don't have any connection to what you're doing.
True, okay, but these themes are relevant to men and women alike. We stick the word alike at the end of the sentence to mean both, but if we did use both, we'd have to put it earlier in the sentence. It is relevant to both men and women, but you can't say it's relevant to alike men and women. Nope, can't do that. Alike is at the end. So it appeals to men and women alike. And some of these themes are dealing with coming to terms with the past. Now, if you come to terms with something, that means you accept something that was difficult to accept up to now. Come to terms with something. For example, maybe somebody was very mean to you in the past. They caused you to lose a lot of money or to lose your job or something like that. And you hated them for many years. But later on, you come to terms with that situation. information, you understand it a little bit better, and you are able to move on with your life. So some people need to come to terms with the past. Maybe they regret the past, something they did. They think they probably should have done it a different way, but finally they realize that, hey, I can't change the past. It's not really my fault, or even if it is my fault, I can't change it. It's time to move on.
Or maybe you have to come to terms with a death in your family or a death of a close friend. You have to accept it and try to move on. Well, you can enjoy this book by coming to terms with people who explore their past and they struggle for identity. So they kind of have to acknowledge where they're from, their parents are from, and they have to just accept it and move on. Now, we talked about the Joy Luck Club in our first program. We said it was published back in 1989. And look at how popular or hot this book was. It spent 75 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. It's just a list of the top-selling books. And to spend 75 weeks on the list is really quite amazing. So it was very, very successful for Amy Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's longer than a year. And it eventually sold millions of copies and it earned glowing praise for its author. Glowing means it's emitting light. But if we talk about glowing praise, that means people really loved it. They said wonderful things about the book. Boy, is that a good book. We loved reading it. We learned so much from it. It's so well written, and it deals with such important issues that we're going to put this very high on our book lists for this year.
Mm. When you use this word glowing, it means that something's full of praise. Someone could talk to you, talk of you at least, in glowing terms. Someone says, wow, they must really think highly of you. He spoke of you in glowing terms. So it was quite high praise for the author, and you can see that if it spent 75 weeks on the bestseller list, a lot of people enjoyed it. I think there was a lot of word of mouth, Tom, when this book came out. Someone recommended the book to me. That's how I learned about it. So word of mouth means someone reads it and likes it and tells somebody else and they tell someone else and they tell another friend. That's the best kind of publicity an author can get.
Absolutely. And as a result of its praise and its popularity, it has been, since that time, been translated into 23 different languages. And it was even adapted into a successful movie, which we've been talking about quite often here. Again, it's both a novel and a movie. Well, you know, everybody, this is the month of Mother's Day, so there's no better time to watch or read The Joy Luck Club, because it does deal with issues that are of concern to mothers and children. And so there's no better time to read this book than in this month of Mother's Day. Again, the story reminds us that no matter what separates us from our parents or children, our mutual bond of love will always hold us together. So we might be separated from our mothers for some reason, whether it be distance, maybe we live in another country or something like that, or maybe we're separated by the cultural gap or the generation gap. But hey, this book might actually help you rekindle that relationship with your mother if you're having problems with it, or even if you have good relations with your mother, it can give you a new perspective on it and make it even better.
Mm-hmm. It talks about this mutual bond of love that we have. Mutual just means you have similar feelings, maybe similar ideas or tastes. This bond is a relationship you have with someone. So you share that bond or relationship together. You know, even if you do have times when you don't get along so well with a parent, particularly a mom, just remember that you're together for a long, long time, and usually those relationships will work themselves out. Your mom sacrificed a lot for you, no matter what she's doing at the time. Maybe you think she's criticizing too much, but mom sacrificed so much of their lives to raise their kids well, so we need to appreciate them as much as we can.
Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our explanation. Time now for our Chinese teacher to take over, who, incidentally, I happen to know, is an excellent mother.
好，接下来又提到这本书呢，它其实里面的主题还有讨论到什么呢？讨论到 themes relevant to men and women alike. Relevant 是代表有相关性的。Men and women alike 就是 both men and women。那这本书的主题它也处理到跟男女 都有相关的议题。好，那继续提到说 such as coming to terms with the past and struggling for identity. 这里两个例子，一个就是 come to terms with the past, 和过去达成协议，这是一个重要的片语 come to terms with, 也就是接受的过去这个意思。后面呢 struggling for identity 是指寻求肯定自我。下面一段他提到说这本书呢是在1989年首次出版，注意到 published 他用过去分词，那其实是因为他把前面的主词省略，那主词指的就是这本书后面讲的 The Joy Luck Club, 这本书 was published in 1989。 好，提到这本书呢，他在排行榜上蝉联了75周，而且销售了百万册以上。好，后面又提到这本小说呢，它已经翻译成23种语言，而且 even adapted into a successful movie。 注意到这个动词 adapt 原来是改编，这里呢是被动 adapted, 前面省略掉了 has been。 好，我们知道它有被改编成一部成功的电影。最后这一段呢、提到说 There's no better time to watch or read The Joy Luck Club than in this month of Mother's Day。 注意到这是一个比较级的说法，中间的 than 表示没有比这个月，也就是五月的时候来看这本书更好了。好，最后这边 The story reminds us, 注意到 remind 它后面加受词 us, 再来可以接一个子句，用 that 来引导。那我们知道 remind 有时候呢它是加人后面再加 of 再加事情，表示说是提醒谁某事。好，我们继续看到句子里头呢，它有一个单字是 mutual。 mutual 代表是互相的，彼此的。 mutual bond of love 就是表示说彼此之间共享的这种亲情。那么这个故事到底提醒我们什么呢？他提醒我们 No matter what separates us from our parents or children, 不管呢是什么原因造成父母子女之间的分离，共享的这种亲情呢永远都会是彼此之间的一种联系。
Well, we've been spending our last couple of programs talking about the Joy Luck Club. And Stephanie, I'm not a mother, of course, but I am a father, and this book does relate to parents and children. So it's a very good book for parents and children to enjoy, especially for this month where Mother's Day is happening this month or has happened. And again, we wish you all the best in the month of May, and we hope you certainly read The Joy Luck Club and see the movie at your convenience. Thank you for joining us for English Digest. My name is Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.